Today's first reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 11 through 14. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our second reading is found in 1 Corinthians. And we're in chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. I had prepared a children's sermon today, and we don't have a lot of children here, but I'm going to go with it anyway, because sometimes that just speaks to me, and it's on a level that even I can understand, okay, which is pretty cool. But Maya and Jacob, if you'd be kind enough, you know, it's still elementary, if you'd come up here and help me with this, I'm going to need some assistance. All right. Our 5 and our 6-year-old are with another foster family for the weekend, or we'd have them here too. I'm going to put you right here, one on either side. I'm going to put something between you here. Hold on a second. All righty. So I'll stand here, and I need one of you on each side, because you're going to have to help me here in just a bit, okay? So all three readings today talked about building. And if we're going to build something, like a house or something, what do we need? Wood, stuff to build it with. We need building materials, right? Okay, we got that. We got you covered. It's all good. Okay? So here we got some wood. And some other wood. Which one are you going to use to build your house? Yeah, you're both choosing that one, right? What's wrong with that one? It could give you splinters. Yeah, it's just sort of crumbling apart, isn't it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to last, is it?
No, like if anything happens to it,
it'll just... Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay, so we have to choose good materials when we're building, right? In addition to materials, what else do we need to build? We need tools, yes, all right, and other types of supplies for that, absolutely. Okay, so if we're going to hold this together, we need some sort of fasteners. I brought screws today. Nails work just fine, but screws are even better. You can take them back out, and then they cinch things tight, and we will use our screws then to hold things together, right? So we need the tools, like you said, and the fasteners, so there we go. There's a screwdriver, and there's a screw. Go ahead and give that, put that all, not into the table. I'll move it off to the side here. We're going to be smart, okay? I always got to learn the hard way. So go ahead and just start. You don't think it's going to work? Why not? It's not powerful enough, as you're both saying? You're not powerful enough by yourself?
No.
You're not? Okay. Well, okay. Well, go ahead and try it. Let's see. Yeah, a screw and a screwdriver. You need a hammer. Oh, you got to have the right tool for the job. You ever tried hammering a screw? This is a screwdriver. See?
No, you need a drill.
A drill? Okay, so it's working, but not real well, right? If we're trying to do it on our power, right? But if we don't rely on the power of your arm on another power, we can do it better, can't we? Right? So trying to do it on our own power, maybe not the best way, right? But when we got another power source, go ahead and try it with this, young man. Let me make sure it's off the table. Okay. Now you got to push down a little bit when you do it too, okay. Okay. Oh, look at that. Right through. Yeah, that was easy, right? Because you weren't doing it on your power. The drill's stronger than you are. Amen, right? So who's our power source?
God,
right on. So, you know, we've all got the ability to do something. But when we try to do it with his power rather than on our own, that is good. Okay. Now, where we build the house is also important. And that's what we heard in the gospel today. Where to build it makes a big difference. You got to pick the right spot. Where would be a good place to build a house? If you could build a house anywhere in the world, where would you build it? Somewhere high up, because you want a view, you want a nice breeze. Antarctica, so you don't have...
I don't need people.
You don't need people around? Okay. You build it high up, if it rains, it'll go down, right?
If you build it high up, it snows.
Is what?
If it gets snow, it's colder.
Colder, and it stays cooler. You got a nice breeze when you're high up. Exactly,
yeah,
that helps.
But in winter.
Okay. And you don't get so many mud puddles in your yard either, right? If you build on a hill, hey, here's more kids. Outstanding. Come on in. Come on up here. We're going to show you some stuff.
I don't think they want to.
Come on up here, Ezra. You're going to help us. We were just talking about building houses and stuff, okay?
I like building.
You like building? Give me five. You like Bob the Builder too, probably?
I can build.
You can build. All right. We were just showing tools and how to use them.
I like pizza.
You like what? Pizza?
No.
Piggies. Oh, okay. All right. Well, the three little pigs, they build houses, didn't they? We could tie all kinds of stuff in here. You know that? And one build them is smart. Sheep, okay.
And I know how to build a marble run. I have a toy marble run.
Oh, toy marble run, you build that, huh? Okay. And you can experiment, try different ways. All right. So we're going to looking at building houses here, and we're saying where we would like to build a house. Okay. Here's a house that's built sort of on a rock, isn't it? That's pretty cool. Okay. That is a nice rock. You got a story behind that rock, too. Just hold on. Alrighty. And then, yeah, the sand. Because we heard that in the story today. Yeah, during the week, I took my motorcycle down to the Starbuck Park, and I brought a big bag down there and got a lot of sand. Why did the sand? It's not going to work. What's wrong with it? Yeah, we're making a hill in it. The house is going to go bye-bye, I think, huh? Okay, so I think that'll be enough for what we're doing here. Now, there's a nice hill that we could build our house on. You're saying building on a hill? That's what I see right there, okay? Yeah, that one's even higher. That's even higher. That's got to be better. Wouldn't the rain? Okay, well, let's build our house here, first of all. And put that so it doesn't get on the carpet. Okay. And then we're going to build the walls of our house. So there's the walls. You're building a house on the hill. Exactly. And we're going to put a roof on it. Look at that. I'm going to have you two move to the side so people can see a little bit. Okay, come on right over here. You can come back. Yeah, right here. And then right over here so they can see. It's important when you're doing a demonstration that the class can see. I do this all the time in school, okay? And I could maybe have this up on something higher, but I want it on your level too. We've got to be on your level. Okay, so you said something about rain. Well, we can provide that too, okay? I wish we could provide it to our county right now. But anyway, yeah, it's going to start raining here, okay? So look at that. The roof's doing its job. It's shedding the rain. Okay, this one, the roof's doing its job. And the, what? It all came down, and it's still coming down.
To be fair, you did tape this.
I did tape that. I used better materials, yes. I used better materials, better tools. Exactly. And it's, look at that. It's,
the sand got ruined.
I told you. Yeah, exactly. You figured it out, didn't you? So if these are two guys building their house, who is the smart guy? That one is the smart guy, right? Because he built it on the rock. You know what?
The rock.
Yeah. Got your sandals wet, too. It's, luckily, it's just water. It's not hydrochloric acid, okay? Some of the demonstrations I do at school, I get a little crazier. Okay. So if we're going to be smart, we need to build our house on good ground, solid ground, don't we, right? And that's what Jesus was saying. That's what Jesus said in the reading today. That if we're smart, we'll build our house on the solid ground. Like a beach. Now, the beach is nice, but it's not a good place to build a house, it turns out. Who would build their house on sand? Right. It's not smart to do. Exactly. So,
you know this is going to happen. Look at this.
Yeah.
That's the roof.
Yeah, that was the roof. Okay, it's not even hurricane season. Okay, so anyway, what Jesus said, if we do what God says, we're the smart. If we don't do what God says, we're not smart. Yeah, we got sand on my hands. So what does God tell us to do?
He tells us to believe in him.
To believe in him.
And put our house on the rock.
Put our house on the rock, right?
Not on the sand.
Okay, we should love God. He tells us to love him first and foremost with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love others. And then we got to serve others. And when we serve them, we're going to serve them well, okay? So we're going to love God, we're going to love others, and we're going to serve well.
Wait, does that mean that if you're building someone's house, don't build it on sand?
Guess what?
Don't build on sand, right.
Wait, can I
yeah.
If you put the house still fine.
That's not fair, though, because right. He taped this one. He didn't take
well,
that.
It's
yeah,
not,
better
it's
materials.
It's pretty hard,
yes,
to, get
it,
it's pretty hard to get that on a rock.
That's water, yep. Okay, so anyway. And God also provides. Like I said, I took my motorcycle down to the park to get that sand. And I'm thinking, I got to find a brick or something somewhere. I walked around the ministry center. We had these big landscaping bricks. That wasn't it. So I started walking along the shore, just looking at these rocks, trying to find one that's somewhat flat. And as I'm walking along the shore of Lake Minnewaska, what do I find? A piece of marble that's totally flat on both sides. Just what I needed. I'm looking, and God just sort of provided, huh? Okay. Ooh, there's a bug on there, too, from the lake. Yeah. All right. Well. All righty. You kids, give me five. Thank you for coming up. Give me five. Give me five. Give me five. Give me five. Now, you're going to go with Jill and Maya, and she's going to teach you a little bit more, okay? So you go ahead with Jill and Maya. There's Jill right there. You can go help, too. All right. I don't know about you, but I love it. Yeah, that enthusiasm. I mean, let us be like children, right? We got to be enthusiastic when we're in here too, right? Yeah. Okay. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. And Lord, may we just have joy. May we have enthusiasm. May we be like kids before you, God. Amen. Alrighty. So today's gospel, we hear about the people building, one on the firm foundation and the other on the sand. And what it comes down to is actions. And that's what Jesus led off with here too. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Not just knows the will of my Father, but does it, okay? We're talking verb here, not noun. We're talking doing it, action. And that was a wise and foolish builder too. Everyone who hears these words of mine, yeah, we can hear them and know them. We can know all about them. But the one that puts them into practice, again, does them, is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the foolish man hears the words, but does not put them into practice. Out there actively living as the Christian. That's what we need to do. So we need to discern God's will and to follow his will. And again, his will for us is to love him and love others. What we need to do. And a lot of people are doing stuff in his name. He starts out with that there. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. That's impressive. They're prophesying in his name. They're driving out demons in his name and performing miracles in his name. Wow, you think these people are in good with him, right? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. They're doing all the right things, and they're doing them in his name. What's different? What are they doing wrong? It doesn't tell us here, perhaps. The pride, perhaps, huh? I think it's the motive, the motivation. Why are you doing this? Are you doing it to look good in front of others or something like that? That could be the pride, to build yourself up, things like that. Or are you doing it with the right motivation and the right heart as Jesus did? He's doing all this and more, but he's doing it for the good of others. It's not about him. It's never about him. It's always about his compassion for others. That's humbling. And that's what we need to be doing for God's glory, with the right heart, the right motivation. So yeah, this is a little scary for us. These people are doing things that, you know, maybe we're not even doing. Any of you have been performing miracles, driving out demons lately? Okay. And these people are said, get away from me, he says to them. Whoa, alrighty. So the motive matters. You can put on a great external show, but it's the things of the heart, and God sees the heart. Go back when he selected David, right? He had all these brothers that were strong and everything else, they good warrior material, and then they had this the little, shall we say, sort of runt of the litter in a way. It's just the little brother that watches the sheep. But God looked on him, and what did he see? He saw the heart. Yep, and he saw the motive, and he saw the way that he sought God. And he saw the potential in him, and that's what he built on. That's the raw materials he needs, right? The raw materials to build these houses. We could have the wood here, which is not suitable, because the heart is the thing, right? And that's the suitable materials. We've got to have the good heart. We're seeking God. We want to follow him. We want to do what's right. And we're doing it for the right reasons. Out of love. Out of love. And so he tells them this. But then he wants to drive it home even better. He wants to expand on it. So he uses once again a parable. And Jesus is big on these parables. Got to love them. They're layered. They have different layers, different meanings. We got the superficial one, right? You build your house on the rock. And who else is hearing that Sunday school song in their head right now? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Anybody else hearing that? Yeah, okay. And that's great. That's what the kids are learning right now. Eventually, as they grow in their faith, they're going to realize the deeper layers to these parables. And we can plumb the depths of them and spend a lifetime studying them. And I'm not convinced that we'd ever fully understand them and know them, because there is so much in God's word. There's such depth in here. You know how it is. Sometimes you read it another day in the same passage and it speaks to you differently. And it's the living word. It's living. So there's layers here. We got the story. And then we got the story of the building on the foundation. And we can certainly look at that from a construction standpoint. And then the important part, putting his words into practice. All three of these are important. But the most important one, again, is putting it into practice.
So he starts out with a story, and he's the storytelling kind. I mean, he just tells stories. Everybody loves a good story. You know, when Grandpa starts telling some memory, did the kids just get quiet and start listening? Or else around a campfire, it's stories. What's passed down from generation to generation within your family? Stories. Or within a tribe of people in some remote jungle or desert somewhere, they tell stories. Same way with God's people, the Jewish people here. They tell stories to pass it on. They couldn't put it on a DVD and record it that way. They didn't have that technology, that capability. But they valued, they treasured these stories, and they passed them on. And they contained great wisdom. So they're used to hearing stories, and they're used to sort of taking them apart and seeking out meanings of them too, because they would construct stories with meanings. That's what Jesus is doing with parables here. So it's something memorable, something you can imagine, you can see it in your head. You got a mental image, and you can visualize it. Each one of us can think of visualizing right now two houses, one built on a rock, nice and solid, and the other on sand. And then as we saw in the children's lesson here, the rain come pouring down and just leveled it, washed away that foundation. That sand was pretty near leveled, and now there's just a little bit left there by the water. And indeed, if I pour more on there, it's going to be leveled completely. So we have to have that firm foundation. And that foundation then, again, is putting his words into practice. That was it. So the building, again, is something that's familiar with everyone as well. Everybody's seen houses built. You drive by, all of a sudden you see a house is starting to go up. What's the first thing that gives you a clue that someone's building out there in that field? What do you see? They're digging, right? Exactly. You see an excavator parked there and some bulldozers and things like that. And that's that first step in building, is that we have to dig. We have to excavate. We have to remove unsuitable materials. Okay, we can take this three different levels too. We can take it within ourselves. We can take it within our congregation. We can take it within the body of Christ. Within ourselves, when God's going to build, does he have to remove stuff? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've accumulated all kinds of things that are unsuitable, and he comes in there with his big excavator, and he removes it from us if we let him. If we let him. And if we cooperate with him, yeah. Food for thought, at least for me. All right, so they have to remove what is not good. And then they replace it with suitable soil. The next thing you see is dump trucks coming in, right? They're carrying in the gravel and things like that that's going to drain away the water, not just the black dirt there. And we're getting the concrete and things like that. So we've removed what's unsuitable, and now we're bringing in the good stuff. And that, again, within us, the Holy Spirit filling us with the good stuff, if we let him. Why would we not seek that? Why would we not want that? Why would we want to hold on to the old things? Doesn't make sense, does it? If you step back and look at it. Or maybe if you see it in others, it's maybe easier to point it out in others than to look inside ourselves at times. Get that stuff out of there. Let God do it. Let him come in with his excavator, remove that, and fill you with the good stuff, so that you are a suitable foundation. Like it's saying in 1 Corinthians, that there is no foundation other than Christ. What better foundation? If you're going to build your faith, if you're going to build your life, building on him. So that foundation is the next thing. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, we'd heard that. Again, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So as Paul's going around and forming these churches, he's laying Jesus Christ as the foundation. And then people build upon it with these various things. And as we're building and rebuilding this church too, the foundation has to be Jesus. Has to be. Any other foundation, it's going to be like that sand we saw there. It's not going to last. It's not suitable. Isaiah 58:12 also spoke of foundations. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. So they've already been laid for us. They're there. The people that formed this church and formed the church as a whole had foundations in place, and we're building on those. We're building on the faith that you received as a child and you continue to build on. Building on Jesus. Materials important, as Jacob and Maya pointed out. They were able to spot right away what was unsuitable as far as materials. And we're building our faith and we're building the church. Again, we need good materials. We have to select them. We have to build wisely with good things. God will provide. Just like that piece of marble laying in the park. He provided suitable materials. All the rocks I'm looking at, walking along, and I see that laying there. Yeah. Okay. So God will provide. And that's where we have to have trust. We have to have faith that He will provide the materials. Sometimes we look at a building job and say, how can we even do this? This is too big of a task. We feel overwhelmed. Well, God will provide the materials. He'll also provide, like that power drill, the power that we need. And you're not building alone. You need a construction crew, right? Yeah, look around you. You got a crew that's going to help you build your faith. Everybody here, like I said last Sunday, there's not a person here that wouldn't make time for you if you ask them. We are here to help each other. We're here to be for each other. Sometimes it's a little humbling to ask for help. I know I can be that way too. You know, I could call up my neighbor, oh, I need help, you know, building this or doing this, and no, I'll just prop this up and I'll find a way to hold it up while I run the screws or something like that. You know, maybe it's a little pride at times, got to admit it, you know, but no, don't do it ourselves. We are together. We are the team. We are the construction crew, and we all have different abilities within that, the different gifts that it talks about in Corinthians and in Romans. Some of you are great at masonry work. You'd be the ones to lay the foundation. Some of you are good at roofing or something like that. Some of you want to do the interior decorating. Hey, that's good. That's not my skill. Ask Jill, okay? That's not my thing. But there are the people that have those gifts and have those talents. They can match those colors. They can create themes. They can create moods. We all have different gifts. I read that somewhere one time. Okay, it was a good book. All right, and when we work together, then we can accomplish it. And no job is too small or insignificant. This came up at Bible study on Tuesday morning. Roz had used it as an example, the garbage haulers. Not often appreciated. A job that people may look down on. And then one time in Chicago, they said we need better working conditions or whatever their motive was, and they went on strike. What happened over the next couple weeks? Garbage piled up, it was smelly, the rats were running rampant, things like that. Because this job that people considered insignificant, unskilled, whatever, was not being done. There is no job too insignificant, too unskilled in building God's church. Everybody has a place. And you may have gifts you don't even realize. Maybe you have the natural talent for framing up walls, but you've never been taught how. Or you never had the opportunity to practice it. Still not me in interior decorating, okay? Unless there's some hidden skill there that I'm very not aware of, okay? But we all have our piece of the puzzle. And we work together. We complete that crew. We are a construction crew, and we can build. Again, rebuilding shalom, building the church of Christ on that level, and also within ourselves. We can try to build ourselves up again. Is it easier if you have people come alongside you and pour into you, pray with you, speak with you, be God's presence to you? Absolutely. And don't refuse that, okay? We have the chance to pour into others, and the times we need to be poured into as well. Another consideration is workmanship. Yeah, you might have the best materials, but if you don't join them with good angles and with good joints and put them together well, it's not going to hold. You look at some of these cathedrals that were built hundreds of years ago. And some of them is just the rocks on the rocks, the way that they're angled or anything like that, they support themselves. There's workmanship. There is craftsmanship there that has withstood storms. It has withstood winters. It has withstood the test of time because it was put together well. So as we build our faith and as we build the church, again, we want to do it right. We got to have that workmanship, that quality. And finally, my last thing on construction is blueprints. You got to have a design. You got to have a plan. You got to follow it. And whose blueprint do we need to be following? God's. Amen. We may have ideas. Oh, let's build it this way. Let's do it that way. But I've proven many times myself that His way is better than mine. All right, and His blueprints, His design for the church, His design for families, His design for life. The best way, the one way, the true way, the only way. So that building part, an important part of the parable there, and we can go a number of different directions with it. But ultimately, the parable, although building is used as an example, it's a metaphor. It's like, it is like, okay. That's metaphor, right? When you say like. Okay, so I had to double check the English. A simile, not a metaphor. Okay. They're both figurative. Okay, cool. All right. So we could use either one here. Okay. Whew. All right.
No.
They're both the same thing, assembly and metaphor. Okay, so I was using it correctly at least. Okay, good. Chemistry and physics, no problem when it comes to English. Okay, I got to sometimes consult an expert, right? The same way we got to consult God, don't we? Alrighty. So the most important thing from this is putting it into practice. That was the cornerstone here. That's what it all hinges on, in a way, is that we put it into practice. That's what it comes down to. That's what Jesus said. The one who puts God's words into practice. Not just knowing it, but doing it, right? Again, the verb part. That's the most important part of this, and the most important part, to put His words into practice, to go out there and do them. So let us do that to the world, right? Let us do that to this community. Let us do that to the world. Let us put God's words into practice, to go out there, to love others, to love God first, love others, and then to serve them well, right? This reading is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We got pages here where he's, at least in my Bible, Sermon on the Mount, starts the Beatitudes in chapter 5. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 pages, 6 pages. Who knows how long the sermon went. But the people were listening because he's speaking with authority, right? He's speaking with authority. This is the guy that they're just going, wow. He knows this stuff better than the teachers of the law. And does this guy have a college degree or any fancy learning? Apparently not. He's a carpenter's son from some backwater town. But he's speaking truths that resonate within people. He's speaking things that even a couple thousand years later now, you just sort of go, wow. Wow. That's God. So this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're giving a speech or maybe in a sermon or something like that, you're listening, you remember how it starts maybe, and you remember how it ends. But all this stuff in between, can that just sort of be a blur sometimes? That's what they say anyway, that you remember the first part and the last part. Those are the ones that really stand out. So this is his summative statement. This is how he's ending this long Sermon on the Mount, that we need to put God's words into practice. Live out your faith. Live out your faith. The actions speak louder than the words. So encourage one another. Make disciples. Go therefore. Don't just talk it. Live it out. Amen.